The new book, The Destruction of Hillary Clinton, looks to answer the question many have been asking. How did a well-qualified, experienced, and admired candidate, whose victory would have been as historic as Barack Obama's, come to be seen as a tool of the establishment, a chronic liar, and a talentless politician? In her narrative of the 2016 campaign year and the events that led up to it, Susan Bordeaux unpacks the right's assault on Clinton and her reputation, the way the left provoked suspicion and indifference among the youth vote, the inescapable presence of James Comey, questions about Russian interference, and the media's malpractice in covering the candidate. Susan Bordeaux is a media critic, a cultural historian, and a feminist scholar. She is professor of gender and women's studies at the University of Kentucky. Again, the new book, The Destruction of Hillary Clinton, is now out in paperback. It does include a new introduction and an afterword, and it's a great pleasure to have Susan back on the program. Susan Bordeaux, thank you very much for being with us.
Hi, it's great to be back with you, Joe.
A great pleasure. So we spoke earlier this year about, just trying to put our head around what the hell happened. So, and you've added an introduction, you've added an afterword. Have you come to a better place in answering that question?
I've come to a better place in the sense that my answer has gotten more and more complicated all the time. And if you consider that, that overcomplication is a better place, then it's a better place. But there's a way in which no matter how much explains what happened, there's still something surreal and imponderable, impenetrable about it. Because what has happened since the election, what has made it more surreal is that everything that we knew to be a problem about Donald Trump has gotten worse and worse and worse and worse and more obvious. At the same time, people simply, and by people I mean mostly the media, have not given up on the constant bashing of Hillary Clinton. As early as this morning, I was listening to Joe Scarborough, who was always, my preferred way of getting my blood pressure up in the morning, getting my blood pumping a little bit. And he was talking about how we need to stop going for celebrities and we need people who have experience in politics. And he reeled off a bunch of names, including Jeb Bush and Mitt Romney, and conspicuously missing was Hillary Clinton. I mean, here he was criticizing the idea that a great speech should give you the qualifications for being a president. He was criticizing Oprah, of course. And he was doing that by way of invoking all of the qualities that were associated with Hillary, but that when they were Hillary's, he thought nothing of. They made her establishment. They made her a part of the Washington factory, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, it just keeps going. Trump does it, of course, all the time, but we expect it from Trump. But, the liberal media has yet to either acknowledge its formidable role. They like to talk about Russia, and they like to talk about fake news, and they like to talk about factors that have nothing to do with their own participation in creating a caricature of Hillary Clinton. But they've yet to acknowledge that, and moreover, they've tended to participate in this, drumbeat of, why doesn't she go back to the woods? Why won't she just get out of town already? I mean, this has been a constant refrain since the election. Kind of extraordinary. And it makes what it has made me realize is the irrational depths of the animosity toward Clinton that she had to cope with during the election.
So let me add to that. To that for a moment, and without animosity, by the way, but just saying that there is, I think, a general feeling, fair or not, that if you lost to this guy, if you lost to this guy, maybe we need to find somebody else to run.
Well, and, you know, I don't think Hillary should run again. You know, and I mean, and that's not because I think she lacks the ability, the qualifications, or that she deserves it or anything like that.
Absolutely.
Just doing a sober assessment of where our culture is at. I think that none of that old guard, not Sanders or Joe Biden either, is going to be capable of winning the Democrats back their place in the culture. But yeah, I think that there has been, you know, it's kind of paradoxical because, of course, it's like the more we confront how horrible a choice was made, not that all of us chose him, the less we give credence to what we missed out on. Right. You know, the point that you just made, people tend to think, well, God, she really sure didn't have it at all. If she lost to this joker, this con man, this clown. And of course, that's an inadequate analysis of what happened. You know, she did not lose by virtue of being a worse candidate than Trump. She lost because of and I truly do believe this. I don't think of Trump as having won that election. I think of Hillary as having lost it. And I think that she lost it because there was, in fact, without there being a deliberate conspiracy, except perhaps on the part of the Russians, maybe working, you know, in collusion with Trump and his cohort. We don't know about that yet. But there was this multifaceted assault on her, which began from the moment that she announced and continues today. So she had so much going against her. It's kind of remarkable that she emerged in the end with 3 million more popular votes than he did. You know, we can't forget that. You know, we tend to forget that she was the popular vote winner and that she is still ranked the most admired woman in the world and that she has millions of devoted fans. I mean, people, and I have conversations with these people on Facebook. I know them pretty well. You know, people who would lay down their lives for her. Right. But she was up against an array of forces. You know, it's almost like the metaphor I use in the book, and then Hillary picks that up and uses it in her book, is a perfect storm. Any one of them different, and perhaps she would have come through. But all of them put together, you know, from Sanders to the GOP, Benghazi, the emails, the media, Comey, the Russians. I mean, it's really quite extraordinary that she did as well as she did.
What did you make of her book? Do you think it looked to answer the very question that your book looks to answer of what happened? And how do you think she did in that? Do you think there is a self-awareness of what the pluses and minuses were within the campaign, where she went right, where she went wrong?
Well, I think she actually was pretty damn self-aware. In other words, you know, though there were an awful lot of reviews who accused her of being blind to her own errors and blaming everyone but herself. In fact, her analysis of why she lost was pretty much the same as mine. You know, that is, she made mistakes. I mean, you know, she admitted to her mistakes, but they were not why she lost the election. She lost the election because of this perfect storm of factors that brought her down. You know, and I think, you know, it's as though we want her to be less smart than she is. You know, you know, too many people seem to want from that book just one enormous mea culpa. You know, I'm so sorry. It was my fault. I made mistake after mistake. I should have gone to Michigan on this particular day. And I should have made this speech rather than that speech, or I should have apologized for my emails sooner. But the fact is, those things were so minimally important when put against all of the factors that she does analyze, I think actually quite brilliantly in the book.
So
she unpacks, you know, all of what was going against her. You know, do we want her to be less intelligent than she is and not talk about, you know, not to go into a rant about it, but Hillary warned us about everything that has turned out to be true about Trump, about Russia. she had it. She nailed it.
So
about the alt-right, you know, and I don't, you know, the idea that she should have effaced that knowledge in order to seem more contrite isn't just, you know, not something I buy at all. Was her book angry? Yeah, in spots it was angry. And, you know, boy, I would have been a lot more angry
than she
was.
Oh, yeah, I agree with you. I think you have every right to be angry. But when you look at it, though, it seems, and I know you and I talked about this the last time you were on, but how much of it, and I think it's impossible probably to unravel the tentacles of this and find out, you know, a true equation. But just looking at it on the face of it, is it possible to discern how much of it was her and how much of it was blatant sexism?
I don't think we can do an exact quantification of it. And I think it's impossible to disentangle because Hillary in so many ways has been the flashpoint for our anxieties, as well as the things we admire about women and where they have come over the last 40 years. So Hillary as Hillary and Hillary as the kind of, what's the word I want, you know, the screen, you know, the projection, the repository,
yeah.
I don't know how many other metaphors I can come up with here, for all kinds of irrational feelings about women, very hard to separate those out. I think one of the things about Hillary, though, that is unique, I think, you know, sexism, just about anyone who runs for office is going to have to face certain problems involved in being a woman running for any kind of higher office. Hillary got caught, though, in something that is also unique to her, which is that she... how can I put this exactly? She ascended. She had periods of ascent. You could say always at the wrong time. Now, you know, I mean that not in the sense that I thought she was wrong to do that. But, you know, she was radical at a time when we were not yet ready for that. And then after she had accomplished so much, and worked her way into a really prominent and important and effective place in the establishment, she was perceived as too establishment. So there's a kind of, you know, double bind that is going on in Hillary's career. You know, whichever way she was perceived, right, the culture was not really ready for her, or the culture had felt in some way that it had gone beyond her. You know, she was moving and the culture was moving and they didn't always coincide or interact in exactly the right way. And it's a shame. It's really a shame that that happened, because there has, you know, it's tragic that one of the most qualified, we're never going to see another woman as qualified as Hillary.
So,
which isn't to say we aren't going to elect a woman. I mean, she just, you know, it's hard to imagine someone who is as ready to take on that role and who would have done as good a job.
Susan Bordeaux is our guest. The name of the new book is The Destruction of Hillary Clinton, Untangling the Political Forces, Media Culture, and Assault on Fact That Decided the 2016 Election. One of the great, great conundrums, I think, one of the great questions that that became very clear very early, is that you have a woman who is extremely popular as Secretary of State. People like her. They think she's doing a good job. Then she runs for president, and those numbers take a nosedive. What makes sense about that? I mean, I don't find anything really that makes sense about that. But I don't. So you have someone who's qualified. You have somebody who is in, my God, one of, you know, maybe the second most important position within the federal government. And yet people trust her for that and think she's doing a great job. And have great misgivings when it comes to having her move into the Oval Office.
Okay, well, I can give you a one-sentence answer to that.
All right.
Knowing, as long as you realize that my one-sentence answers are just little summations of much more complicated things. As Secretary of State, Hillary had a boss.
Yes.
And we are comfortable with women in positions of responsibility. We admire them enormously as long as they are not the boss. We still have trouble with them being boss. And I think that when Hillary has, you know, Hillary has had such a steady progression of moving toward being more and more the boss. Right. It's made people, not all people, obviously, she's vastly admired by tons of young women in particular, but people of a more traditional bent have been made very nervous by that. And part of the reason I think why they've been made nervous by it isn't just pure sexism. I think that people are ready to feel that their own choices have been invalidated when others choose a different route. Hillary has had that problem since the cookies and tea remark.
Right.
You know, that people misinterpret her as saying being a housewife was somehow a lowly choice when she's always been in favor of choice and as well at all choices and possibly doing all of it. And I think that, you know, that this is something that has sort of been she got way, a ridiculously disproportionate number of white female votes, right? And this is something that people constantly bring up. You know, if it's pure sexism, why did so many white women vote against her? And I think what they're forgetting about is the need on the part of so many women who are more like her, that is middle-class white women, to disidentify with a woman that is being branded as the boss lady, the witch, the bitch. You know, by pushing, disidentifying with her, by not voting for her, they're saying, I'm not like that, right? And that's, I think, part of why Hillary has aroused so much of what I consider to be a certain kind of irrational sexism, you know, beneath the surface, that, you know, people have felt, women have felt unjustly that because she chose a certain path, that was a denigration of their path. We don't mind when women ascend, but we want them to do it humbly, right? We want them to do it with constant gratitude for being allowed to do it. Hillary's always been, you know, a very independent, confident person. And I think that in our culture, you know, as far as we've come, we still aren't completely comfortable with women who don't defer in some way. You know, you can see this happening with women who are currently seeming to declare the possibility of running for president. You know, people are coming after them, you know, and they're starting to come after them in some of the same ways that they came after Hillary. There's something unnerving about a woman who wants to go too far, who wants to ascend too far. So that's a very long, drawn-out answer to the question as to why we love her. And by we, of course, you know, I'm generalizing there. I'm lumping a whole lot of people together. You know, she is loved when she's doing a splendid job, but she's not pushing against the boundaries of what we consider to be appropriately deferential female behavior. You know, Hillary worked really hard when she was elected to the Senate and also when she became Secretary of State to accept the fact that she was a junior senator, you know, to defer to the senior senators, and then to become a part of Obama's team. She didn't strike out on her own and try to create, you know, a diplomatic policy of her own. So in some ways, she behaved exactly the way we are comfortable with women behaving.
How annoying do you think it must be? I'll ask this both for a question that is impossible to answer of what you think, you know, she would make of it versus what you make of it. Of as we have this discussion, I mean, you're looking at this, your book, The Destruction of Hillary Clinton, Untangling the Political Forces, Media Culture, and Assault on Fact that Decided the 2016 Election. We talk a lot about sexism. We talk a lot about this woman and how qualified she was. And now it seems, and who knows whether what the legs are on this, but now Democrats are going gaga over Oprah, and I don't get it. You help me. I mean, I understand we have a very qualified woman, a very accomplished woman, a woman who certainly gave a beautiful speech on Sunday night. But again, as you said a few moments ago, we will probably never have a woman as qualified as Hillary Clinton who will run for the highest office in the land. I don't know how to make that make sense in my mind.
Yeah, well, it's an excellent question, and I don't think you can give it a one sentence answer, because like the destruction of Hillary Clinton, it is, you know, you have to unpack it. There are a lot of strands that go into it. Part of what's going on is, in fact, somewhat ironically, a reaction to Hillary's loss. I mean, Hillary lost the day after the day after the inauguration. You had this incredible, before the inauguration, you had this incredible march. It was as though people woke up. Oh my God, what did we do? And there has been a kind of waking up among women, and it's taken a lot of different forms. And I think that Hillary's loss was actually, you know, the tipping point for that. So partly we're living in the kind of, you know, cultural reaction to Hillary's loss. But then there is the degree to which our politics have changed so drastically. And I think Hillary was a kind of barometer of that. We really don't look as much at experience and qualifications or even policies as we are taken with personality and not necessarily celebrity. I mean, you know, people talk about it as celebrity culture, but I would say it's broader than that. It has to do with whether somebody just appeals in some kind of deep emotional way. And I think it's part of the reason why Bernie Sanders was so popular. I mean, people may say it's because of his economic policies and all of that, but I think that there was an appeal, an emotional appeal of the radical granddad, right? That's kind of archetype that people were drawn to. Whereas Hillary, who seemed to be the competent, and I think some people saw her as kind of punitive or stern mom, right? People were turned off by that, what they perceived as that personality. More and more, personality and also a kind of tribal attachment, right? They are becoming the reasons why people vote rather than what people stand for or promise or the policies that they, you know, inscribe on their Facebook pages, on their sites. And Oprah has, of course, you know, an extraordinarily winning personality. I mean, it's hard to imagine a person who has a personality that appeals to more and different kinds of people than Oprah. I think the other piece of it, leaving personality aside,
we just have about 30 seconds. Go ahead.
How much we've come to celebrate speech making. I mean, is this speech making is the sine qua non of being a president?
But then Trump, really?
Well, Trump was a great speech maker in his own way.
A provocateur.
a provocateur, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're out of time, Susan, but I could talk to you for another hour and a half. I love having you on the program. The name of the book is The Destruction of Hillary Clinton. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I've enjoyed it again.
Thank you.